For devotions, Ken has asked me to read Luke 19:28-44. After Jesus said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill of the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you on every side. They will dash you in the ground, and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you."
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Along with the prayer requests, I would like to ask that you can continue to pray for Joanne, that her cough would disappear. It's been a rough week for her. Also, it's been a rough week for a lot of people. I am all the time, as you know, working with dairy farmers, and it is just really a very difficult time for them right now. I guess it began this week by something that was posted on Facebook by Mrs. Doug Barney. Now, you don't know these people, but they are dairy farmers from West Union Mennonite Church that we got to learn to love and know when we traveled up there. And she's been posting things different time about the struggle of dairy farming right now. And anyhow, this week she posted something about an acquaintance of theirs or someone they knew, dairy farmers, who also have been battling severe tons of snow in New York State, along with struggles of dairy farming. And one of their acquaintances took his life this week. And she was just saying about how difficult it is. I was on the phone last evening for close to an hour with one of my customers discussing the situation. He said, I hope I'm not taking from your study, maybe you're preaching tomorrow. I said, yeah, but that's all right, I'm ready. And so we discussed a lot of things. All I can say is, the Lord knows all these situations. And all we need to do is just keep praying and praying. That's about all we can do and hope for the best. But like a fellow told me yesterday, he said, you walk into that barn in the morning, you turn on the light, And the cows, if they're down, start getting up, and you look at those udders full of milk, and you think, no one wants this anymore. And yet, we got to take it out. I said, yeah. So it's a very difficult time. And we have dairy farmers here, and we're in the midst of dairy farms all around us. I was just talking to Delvin recently. He's busy going around patching up TMR mixers that are wore out, but farmers can't afford new ones, so Delvin has the job of trying to patch them up. Yeah. Well, now we're going to move into Palm Sunday. I picked the portion that Jared read for us this morning because it adds more than what the other gospel writers do. And it states there, as he was reading, that Jesus said, if you would have known this day who it is that rides among you. Now, this was predicted back in, you don't need to turn to this, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. And I want to read exactly how it is stated there. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. And lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So that is very clear in a prophecy from the prophet Zechariah how the Messiah would come. A little bit of background. I want to turn to Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 9, as Daniel has prayed and confessed to God his sin, the sin of his people Israel, and he knew it was at the time when it was very close, according to the prophecy of Jeremiah, that the people should be allowed to come back, go back to Jerusalem. And he was quite concerned about the future of his people. But God sent the angel Gabriel to fly swiftly, as it says here in chapter 9. And he reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he told me that he was sent to tell me about the future, I'm putting in my words, about the future of his people, the people of Israel, the Jewish people. 70 weeks, I'm going to read here, are determined for your people and for your holy city. And there's parentheses there between 70 and weeks, which refers to 70 weeks of years, or 490 years. For your people and for your holy city, for your holy city. And there are a number of things that need to be taken care of for the Jews and for their holy city. Number one was to finish all transgression, to make a total end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. How many of those six things have been fulfilled? Anyone? Reconciliation for iniquity. That's the only one. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to go back and to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. Now 7 and 62 adds up to 483 years, or 69 weeks of years. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Other translations say that Messiah shall be cut off and will have nothing, as it would have appeared. Now, the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem was known only by him because he was God. But he rode in on the very day that the 69th year was completed. That would amount to, I didn't look it up, but the Jewish calendar year goes by the moon phases, and so it's actually 360 days. So you take 360 times 69, and that total will give you the actual day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, as predicted by the prophet Zechariah. And so you know, I'm going to be speaking from John most of my message this morning, but right after, or right before where I'm going to go this morning, is John's description of the triumphal entry. And let me just read this. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast. Maybe I should start up here in verse 9. Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there. That was where Lazarus was. And they came for Jesus' sake only, not only for Jesus' sake, but they might also see Lazarus, whom had been raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Now the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, and cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. What does the word Hosanna mean? Well, in Hebrew, it means save now. Save now. So what did the people have in mind? The majority of the people had in mind when the Messiah would appear, he would save them from the national predicament they were in, that is, being subject to Rome. But God had a different agenda. I got in a discussion the other day with a man about Jesus and the idea from Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul says, even before the foundation of the world, long before the earth as we know it was formed and created, the whole plan of salvation was planned by the Father, and Jesus being also eternal. It was all planned out for God, knowing that mankind would sin. And something needed to be done about the sin problem. And so the people cry out, Hosanna, save now. Now I want to go back to, in my Bible, Mark has a description of what took place this week. We call it Holy Week. Sunday, which would be what we're celebrating today, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And all four gospel writers depict what happened that day. Luke just goes a step further, and that's why I wanted it read this morning. Because as Jesus comes down from the Mount of Olives, and having been there and sitting up on the Mount of Olives and having a worship service there on Sunday morning, a lot of scripture just kept just bombarding me as I thought about all the things that happened, and this was one of them. I could see Jesus on that colt riding down from the mount toward the Kidron Valley and on into Jerusalem. And starting to weep. Before he started to weep, those that were following were just shouting and just praising God. And the Pharisees said to his disciples, "What's all this commotion about? Get it stopped." And Jesus heard this, and what did Jesus say? Jared read it. What? The stones would cry out. Well, that's another prophecy that made a lot of sense, because around Jerusalem it is just so stony. Vineyards around there, all made, all stone fences around them. You wonder where they all come from, but it's just stony around there. Well, that, and many of us who were on tour talked about, boy, wouldn't that have been some course to hear the stones cry out who Jesus actually was. But Jesus wept as he descended, because he said to himself, "You have not," and maybe he spoke it out loud, "you have not known who it is that rides among you today." So this happened on Sunday of Holy Week. Monday of Holy Week, the temple was cleansed. Remember, Jesus went in and took a whip and changed and whipped that thing around and upset tables, and coins were flying every direction. This was in preparation for the Passover, as people coming from, and as we will see later in my message, people were there, Greeks were there who came to celebrate the Passover. So Jesus cleansed the temple on Monday. On Tuesday, the Sanhedrin challenged Jesus' authority. That's in Luke 21-8. And in Matthew 24, Jesus foretells his destruction of Jerusalem and his second return. Mary anoints Jesus at Bethany. And I read that earlier about here in John, about how there was a celebration because Jesus had raised Lazarus, and people were there just celebrating the fact that he who was dead 4 days was now alive. And Mary was so appreciative of what Jesus did for her brother and for their family, that she comes in and anoints him. And you remember Judas then made a fuss about this money, the money that was spent for this precious ointment. And Jesus reminded him that she was anointing him because he was going to die. And Judas goes out from there and bargains with the Jewish rulers to betray Jesus. This all happened on Tuesday. Thursday then, Wednesday is a quiet day, and on Thursday Jesus eats the Passover meal with his disciples and institutes what we celebrate as communion, and then goes out from there and prays in Gethsemane for his disciples. That's John 17. So that's a little bit of a background as to what happened on Holy Week. And so the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin were just blown away by the people that were putting their faith in Jesus, because the big thing was the healing, not the healing, but the bringing back from the dead of Lazarus. And one place it says, well, it says here, the Pharisees said amongst themselves, what are we going to do? We're not getting anywhere. Look, the whole world has gone after him. And so you know what happened in the background to bring this whole plan of God right up to what we celebrate, what we will celebrate on Good Friday. Now, this is where I want to speak from now on, verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks, this is John chapter 12, you may turn to it if you don't have it. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. This is Jesus speaking. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This refers to what Scott talked to us last week about the serpent being lifted up. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said to them, A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. And while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Now, certain Greeks came, and these Greeks have heard about Jesus. You know, news travels. I don't know how fast it traveled that day compared to today, but all the things that Jesus did, and capped by his raising Lazarus from the dead, who had been dead 4 days, this really spread around. And people were putting their faith and trust in Jesus as their Messiah, as their promised king. And it's interesting here how they came to first to Philip, who was one of the disciples, and Philip goes and tells Andrew about it, and then the two of them bring these people to Jesus. But Jesus goes on to talk about something else. And all of us as farmers, or all of us who have ever planted anything in the ground, and Paul talks about this very much in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians on the resurrection chapter, how that when we put that seed in the ground, and sometimes we get a little anxious, and I remember my grandfather, he couldn't quite wait till he saw that corn come up, so he would dig. Oh yeah, Ken, look here. This seed has died. And now New Life is coming up, and pretty soon the shoot would be out. Same way where any grain that you sow, that grain, a little grain of wheat, needs to die. And what comes up out of the ground produces a stalk. Sometimes I haven't grown wheat for a long time. How many heads of wheat appear on a stalk today? Do you know? Anyone know? Probably at least two, maybe three. But a considerable more than is planted. So Jesus is saying, if I die, this is what I gather from what he's saying, if I die, what will I accomplish in my death? Well, we can look back in history and know what was accomplished. And as Daniel says, it would appear at his death that he has nothing. And yet here we are today as members of the Church of Jesus Christ. But now what I like about verse 27 is the humanness of Jesus. And this is brought out here and also in the garden, also in the cross. And I don't care, folks, Jesus being God, yet was human. Excuse me. And he knew that there was going to be a very difficult time of extreme mental and physical suffering that he was going to have to endure. We have to establish that. Being God did not take away the physical suffering that he was going to endure. And so Jesus said, I'm very troubled. Shall I say to my Father, save me from this hour? But then he says, but for this purpose I came. Now this man I talked about a little earlier was saying, we were talking about predestination. He said, can you get a grasp on the fact that even before the worlds were created, that Jesus was predestined to die this terrible death? We can't wrap our hands around it or our minds around it. The love of a heavenly Father for a sinful world. Well, Jesus answers his son at this point in time when he's troubled. The voice came from heaven and said, I have glorified your name and I will glorify it again. People standing around heard it and didn't know what happened, thought it had thundered. Others thought an angel had spoken to him. But Jesus says this voice came not just for me, but also for your sakes. And he tells them what's going to happen when he goes to that cross. Who is going to be defeated? Satan. Satan is going to be defeated. And that goes all the way back from the prophecy in Genesis, when God told Satan that you will be defeated. There will be one born a woman that will crush your head. Even though you will make it tough for him. That is Jesus. And so, what do we get from this portion of Scripture? There are several things. First of all, this portion of Scripture is opened up to us by Greeks coming to see Jesus. And they're brought to Jesus by Philip and Andrew. I heard a story just the other day from Rabbi Zacharias talking about a man, a Christian man who was talking about salvation to this other individual, and this other individual was just brushing it off. He wasn't getting anywhere in trying to explain to him the message of salvation. And one day, he came to him and he said, could I borrow your coat? And, yeah, you may borrow my coat. So he put it on and he said, now what if I would go, let's say I would go now into a bank and I would rob that bank, and I would take off out of the bank, and I think this man's name was, the man that he was trying to witness to was Zimmerman. And they would say, well, that guy looks like Zimmerman. He has his coat on. And so they would come to your house. I would get away, and they would come to your house, and they would arrest you. What would you say? This man thought a while. The man gave his coat back. You think that thing through. What was he trying to tell him? But the man saw the light. And after a day or two, they met again, and he gave his heart to Christ. And he said, do you know what? I don't know what this other man's name was. But he said, you wear his coat, meaning Jesus's. You wear his coat very well. So the man got the point. And so this thing of bringing people to faith in Christ, only God can save people. But our job is to be oftentimes the conduit through which the mercy and grace of God flows into other people's lives. And I think about it, I go about my daily work. I try to do whatever I can to bring some kind of help and encouragement into the lives of people who are struggling. It's life. Life can be very, very difficult. And yet, above all this, we need to realize that we're not here forever. We're here just for a short period of time. And then we move on to eternity. Now, this portion of scripture is just very, very close to my heart because of the suffering that Jesus knew he would have to go through. And even there in the garden, as he battled out with his father, he says, if it's somehow possible, take this cup away from me. But if there's no other way, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. And so Jesus in his humanity struggled deeply there in the garden. And so he moved out of there confident that his father would sustain him through this whole ordeal. And I would urge all of you this week to read through this story again. Good Friday is always special because of what it means. The dying of the Lamb. I see, as I go around this time of the year, just the other day, I saw this ewe with two twin lambs running around behind her, and they are so cute, about this big. They are so cute. And imagine I'm sure these Jewish families had special lambs. And they were to pick out one that was just perfect, showed absolutely no blemish whatsoever, and set that lamb aside and observe it for, was it 4 or 5 days? I'd have to go back and look. 5 days, I think, to make sure that there was no blemish and that it would have to be slain. And its blood then put the first Passover on the lintel and the doorposts, and death would escape the firstborn of that family. And so we look at the blood of Christ as our means of eternal salvation and entrance into his family and ultimately into eternal bliss. It is just a tremendous story, and one sometimes I think beyond our comprehension. To close this message today, I want us to think about the fact that no matter the difficulties that we go through, we can reach out to Christ. We can go through him to our Heavenly Father. But Jesus had to walk this lonesome valley by himself. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to sing that song. Jesus walked that lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it by himself. Jesus walked that lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it by himself, by himself, by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it by himself. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that he walked that valley and came out victorious. Even though he felt your rejection, he cries out in triumph, "It is finished. It is finished." And that thick, heavy veil in that temple just tore from top to bottom. And because of that, Father, we can come into your presence this morning because of what Jesus did. And we're forever grateful. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to go to Hebrews for our benediction. You may stand a while. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go and God be with you.